Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to From the Fryer. I'm Ellie.
Hey everyone, this is Leon. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show.
So we'll be talking about Happily Ever After, Season 6, Episode 6, Fear and Loathing. A few of the storylines kind of drove me crazy. I'm sure you can guess which couples that was, but we'll get into it. Should we just jump in? Any exciting news this week? Feeling better?
I am feeling better. I was cleared by the doctor. So they said that it would pretty much take a very high amount of effort to injure what was done. Like we mentioned last week, I had appendicitis, had my appendix removed. A really good excuse to be lazy around the house and not do much activity, but that has come to an end now.
Perfect. Should we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So we'll just kind of go in order. We'll do Mike and Natalie first. This is, I believe, the first full day there in Oklahoma.
They had so much tension. They had a trip. It was like an all-day event to pick up the wood.
It was an all-day event to get the wood. Natalie does not work well with her hands.
Yeah, she's just an awkward...
She's an awkward duck.
Just an awkward human, yeah.
Mike's mom is very much so pushing the interpreter job, which is very strange. You can't just become an interpreter. It's not something you don't just show up. It's certification, it's training, it's a lot of things.
There's probably a decent amount of pressure that comes along with it. You know, if you're depending on what you're trained in,
are you medical information,
that could be pretty stressful. I don't think it's good to force a certain career on someone. She's essentially heavily suggesting you should really do this.
Pretty much just because she speaks two languages. Not because there was any indication
that she's interested in that at all.
That she's interested at all, that just that she speaks two languages. Mike's mom also believes if she does not work, she should take on a traditional housewife role and does not believe she's doing a good job at it.
I wonder, that's only coming from what Mike is telling her.
I mean, that has to be. There's no other source.
Right. There's unless it's like
Tamara, which would be weird.
I don't know. I feel like they have one. Natalie's pretty awkward, semi, I wouldn't say weird in social situations, but weird to individuals connected to Mike.
Yeah.
Man, their relationship, I feel, is going to always be pretty rocky, especially going back to that wedding situation. I think it's always going to be really weird.
How do you feel about Mike's personality this season? I feel like it's really different from past seasons.
I think he has more of a, like, fuck it attitude. Just, I'm just going to be me. I don't give a fuck. Like, all right, we got these cameras around. I don't care. This is who I am.
I feel like he toned his personality down previous seasons.
Yeah, he seems more, well, it's probably because he's comfortable being home, but he seems a little more country. I mean, even though he lives in the country in like small townville, but
it's coming out a lot more now. Just a side note. Did you see how Natalie walked from the house to the truck?
Oh, she's so weird.
It was just weird. Like, just walk. You don't have to be this weird, sexy version of yourself every moment.
Something that was interesting from Natalie's talk with Mike's mom that I don't think we've seen come out before so direct was her, I'll say, TV aspirations.
Yes. So she was in TVs and movies in back home. And now she's still striving to do that here in Seattle. She was very upfront with kind of her dreams. She said she does not want to go to Hollywood. That's not her plan. But she does believe that she can make it in TV in Seattle.
I'm honestly not sure. There's a lot of avenues. There's, you know, sort of the daytime television. There's news. There's local shows. I feel like she's already weird in front of this the show we're filming now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's got a quirky personality that would be for maybe a very specific thing.
I think it would have to be really specific. I don't think she could just interview people for a daytime segment or...
Because folks in the hiring process could call her out. Like, hey, your English needs to be like a little bit more clear.
She would have to take some classes, which is fine. She can do that. But it's just, I almost feel like her quirks is what's going to be way harder than taking English classes or just speaking classes.
I also didn't like that she basically referenced, I'm an attractive looking woman. You know, I want to do something in TV. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of good-looking women out there that aren't doing TV.
Do you notice she says...
That's not like a pass for you to do TV.
Do you notice she always says almost like a bunch of filler information if you ask her one question?
It's like,
I have one life. No, okay.
This is what I, you asked this, but this is what I've been wanting to tell you for a while.
That's kind of it, yeah. It's always a lot rolled into one thing that could be a simple conversation. Oh, also, I think it was last episode, she said she finds it very strange that Mike calls his mom mommy, but she was so babied and lived with her mother at home.
That doesn't bug me because... It's just his.
She's just picking on him.
It's like his nickname for his mom, whatever.
Yeah, and I don't think she should pick on him.
What does she call her mom?
I don't know. What if it's like mommy?
I thought it was something on the same lines.
I thought it was too. But I just think it's crap to call someone out for that.
Oh, man. She basically took a shot at Mike when speaking to Mike's mom when they were talking about the whole TV thing was, if I came here for a money or green card, it's definitely not the, you know.
I wouldn't be with Mike.
Yeah, I wouldn't be with Mike if that was the case, yeah. If I came for money. I was like, oof.
I still don't know why she came. They hate each other. Why did she come? Why did Mike
Maybe
tell her to come?
Maybe when the cameras are off, they have a cool relationship? I'm not sure.
It's just, everything feels so transactional. There's no relationship to me.
So the last piece we saw, these folks do things that I almost think could be avoided or common sense would help you avoid. So they're pulling up to a butcher shop. You can't fucking tell me Natalie's never been to a butcher shop.
Or the grocery store.
Or the grocery
store
where there's the meat section.
Yeah.
Which is right next to the fish section.
Which is right next to the produce.
Which she eats. I'm pretty sure she eats fish, right?
Yeah, which is crap. But
so you got a bigger version of a grocery store meat section.
Yeah.
And Mike's just kind of joking with his mom. And mind you, the guy's visiting his mom. He doesn't see her all the time. So they're shooting the shit, talking about making this, making that, making
they're
some tomahawk
so
steaks. Definitely. And she just does this dumbass, childish, like, I can't be in here anymore. And just storms out like, okay, bitch, you could have just not came in. You could have just said, hey, I'm not really comfortable going to the store. I'll just chill out by the car.
That's exactly what my comment was on the next time on last time. Why not just say, hey, I'm uncomfortable, I'm gonna wait outside? Why does it have to be this big thing?
She's trying to get on TV, so she's trying to make it interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, I know she has to be like exaggerating for the camera.
I think so. So you told me. So background information in case
Is it a spoiler?
No. Some viewers out there might be more like myself, where we're just watching the show at face value. You know,
oh,
again,
yeah,
I don't follow folks on social media or anything like that, or get any big spoilers like Ellie does. So she kind of fills me in. But one thing Ellie mentioned was that Natalie used to be on TV in her home country.
Yeah.
So she's done. She did mention it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of TV it was. It was probably...
There were some movies and TV stuff.
Okay. And I guess she did mention... She didn't mention that in the show, but I guess what I'm trying to, I think I'm alluding to is that she knows what's good for TV or
exactly.
Maybe what people want to see.
And I think she's totally fine being, I don't even know if I would call her a villain, but someone that's not necessarily fully liked. I think she's totally fine with that. Tell Johnny Depp it's not work.
That was hilarious. When she froze on a second name, she's like,
whoa. Yeah. Later on in the episode, she mentions how Mike needs to stand up for her. And I agree with that in a sense. So he really does. Everyone should stand up for their significant other. It's hard. It's awkward. But it has to be done. So I agree with her in that sense. He does need to stick up for her. But also she just needs to stop picking at Trish. Trish is no saint either this season. I mean, she's picking at Natalie as well.
I think she's kind of like Mike where she just doesn't give a fuck. She's
yeah.
like, I don't like this chick. And you can see she tries to be nice. You know what she does that I really do appreciate? She engages with Natalie as far as conversation or doing things that...
I mean, kind of. But a lot of the conversations aren't necessarily in the most friendly tone. It's not the greatest topics, example
oh, I see what you
of
mean.
You need... Things that you need to do and things that you need
gotcha.
To improve on.
Gotcha,
not,
gotcha.
How's your mom? How's...
That makes sense.
Seattle. Makes
sense. I might have to revert my last name.
Yeah, it's never like a good tone or the topics. But I mean, you can say the same thing about Natalie. She's saying, you know, she's giving her all and she's trying so hard, but she's not at all. She has a snarky ass comment to everything that Trish says. And the same way around. So neither one of them are right. I'm always hypercritical of Natalie, but I mean, neither one of them are right.
How do you think the next episode's going to play out?
Is that the official Thanksgiving episode?
For all we know, the Thanksgiving episode will be like the season ender.
Oh, so Natalie's upset because she says Trish called her a hooker. And then Mike says, no, that's not what she said.
From what Mike said, it's probably something totally different.
Probably. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's probably different.
I think she made another crazy face when she said that too, and she was like, "Wow."
Every face is crazy.
It's demonic. Like,
eyes open.
I'll shank you.
Yeah, that's the face. Yeah, when she came back from Seattle to Mike's place in their blue truck, and she got out and she had that look, and I was like, "She's gonna shank him right here, right in front of the house." How do you feel about her requesting multiple times that there be vegetarian options or questioning what vegetarian options will be available at Thanksgiving? How do you feel about her asking multiple times, but also how Mike and his mom have responded to that?
They joked as far as saying there'll be dessert or
there'll be shrimp salad, which is weird as hell. I don't even know what shrimp salad is.
Again, both sides, probably not good. They could probably let her know, hey, we know you don't like meat, so we're doing these dishes. That'd be a pretty
cool
response.
There's always mashed potatoes. There's always mac and cheese. I just feel, I don't know.
But, I mean, Natalie's an adult. She could just offer, like, hey, I'll make a dish for my country that happens to be a vegetarian or something.
Oh,
like,
that's true. She is native. She is native. She can make it.
Right. So it's almost like both sides are wrong anyways.
Exactly. So I don't, she just kept asking, which was weird. But the thing is, they never really gave her an answer of substance. It was, there'll be pie. That's not what we're talking about. And I guess she's never had an American Thanksgiving, so she doesn't know there's usually like green beans or, you know, all these other things besides the turkey.
I know Mike mentioned it, but I'm still pretty excited to see how his fam bam does.
I don't even think we're going to get there. Because remember, she was like in a blazer and the mom was like, send her back to Ukraine or whatever.
Oh, it'll be there the morning of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think it just blows up the morning of Thanksgiving. That's my prediction.
Not going to see that chocolate pie, huh?
No, sadly. One of my notes that I wrote is just, Natalie's a child. That's the only thing.
You were probably over it at that point.
Oh, something that's super weird. So she says that Trish is like has comments about her having a baby and, you know, joking about her having a baby. But wasn't that a main storyline on their last season? Was, I need to get pregnant. I need to get pregnant as soon as possible.
Oh, that shit is gone.
You know,
they had some issues before the marriage, and now that's way in the backseat.
But those issues were always there, and so I don't know why Natalie all of a sudden is like, how dare you ask that? When you were pushing that so hard. I'm just so confused by everything, Natalie. And like, there's just no reason. There's no...
You know, we know ladies have kiddos later in life, but she said Chessie's 36.
I believe she's 36, which is fine. She can have a kiddo, but I just think her change of tune may be throwing people off. So we'll move on to Tiffany and Ronald.
They have an exciting segment. That was
I never thought I would hear that, see that, anything.
I'm pretty sure in past episodes, I was like, there's no fucking way this dude's shit's getting approved. I'm blown away. I was blown the fuck away.
Yeah. I didn't expect it. It's interesting because I'm not sure how this works because you get a green card before you come, but you still have to do an interview. And so, can it be revoked? It must...
They said... Oh, it's more towards the end. I'll pause on that. But he's got a record of gambling addiction. He's going to rehab. I'm really surprised.
Well, he has an actual rap sheet as well, not just like the addiction.
So I'm surprised he got approved. And the fact that, well, I guess this is just the application because there's still the whole co-sponsoring that we'll get to. But
he has to do the interview.
So just as a little side note that We talked about if Michael was ever going to get to America. And I'm just like, okay, how the fuck did Ronald get approved already? Michael over here is busting his ass, just being a normal dude.
No record, no criminal history that we know of. And
that blows my mind. Yeah. I could not believe that. I don't know if it's the systems and the countries are in.
I just think the Muslim travel ban really fucked Mike over.
Yeah, like that was wild to me. But did you have some points, or do you want me to sort of just go off of what I'm thinking off the top?
You can just go.
So we see Tiffany, she's really happy. She tells Ronald the news. He's happy and excited. That's great. She also hints, talking to her mom she was talking to her sister from the last episode, that I haven't told him, but there's no way I'm going to move to South Africa, which now doesn't even matter because he got approved and they're kind of in that process.
Well, he's approved, but it's not really...
Right. They have a long way to go, but yeah, they're sort of moving in the right direction.
There is actual word versus just nothing. Wow.
I think the mom just doesn't give a fuck.
No, she doesn't at all. So this brings up a really good point about relationships, specifically the rough times in relationships, and who you trust with that information. I think it's really important to be conscious of who you...
Conscientious?
I think we're both saying it wrong. I don't think either one of us said that right. I think you need to be aware of who you tell the negative aspects to of your relationship. So for example, if you're always telling your parents the bad, and then you come to them with just anything with the relationship, I think there is already a formed opinion and a formed kind of...
Well, that's also not fair to the partner in question, because the parent only develops one image of what that person is like.
Especially if you've never personally met them.
Right. So when you do meet them the first time, you're going to be like this.
You already have your fully formed thoughts. You hurt my daughter.
He or she over there is an asshole. Or they can get, hey, 70% of what I hear is positive. And like, yeah, that's like 20-30% is like kind of eh. But overall, they're a good person. Versus
you only hear
the 20-30% that's negative, and they're like, well, that's a pretty fucked up person. I don't like you.
So I think people should be really careful, but not necessarily edit what you say, but just be aware of maybe telling a friend versus a parent versus, you know, a cousin. I just think it really matters. I personally don't like to tell family anything negative in a relationship, just because I don't want it to influence me at all in my decisions or how I handle things. I'll tell friends, but like
you want a certain level of privacy.
Yeah, and I don't want that to sway anyone's decision of someone.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Unless I'm trying to break up with someone.
We're talking about the whole Tiffany and Ronald aspect of like how you communicate with your parents and how that could influence your opinion on someone, which in the world we live in, I mean, people put everything... There's a side of folks where they put everything out there, and they're just fully transparent, and they don't give a fuck. They're like, this is who I am. You're either going to like me or you're not going to like me.
And I don't like people's opinions, you know, so I don't... Like
Angela's kind of an example of that. She's like, no, this is who I am. Like, I'm not bullshitting anyone. Mm-hmm. And then some people might think, well, fuck, man, all my shit's out there. Can I get some privacy?
Yeah.
So maybe just whatever is going on in my relationship, I can at least keep that private.
I want to filter because
everything,
who sees that.
Everything else is just out there, and you're like... It's already fucking out there, you know?
Yeah,
so.
And I think in personal life, that's such a sacred thing. Like, yeah, we watch these relationships on TV, and that's literally the point of this podcast, is to have opinions and thoughts on all of it. And I don't want that in my personal life at all from people around me. But this is a perfect example between Tiffany and her mom's opinion of Ronald versus her dad's opinion of Ronald, because her dad doesn't know the negative aspects at all. So he's super excited that Ronald got approved for this visa. He's very, he wants to buy a large home and everyone to live together and all of these great things, but he really does not know the things that Tiffany's mom knows. And that's why she has the formed opinion about that.
That is pretty fascinating to see how parents could have these totally different opinions on someone. What you said, like what you decide to share.
What you decide to share and how you share it. Are you sharing every little fight or just the big ones? Or are you keeping that to yourself?
Look at the position that put Tiffany in, though. She's in like a lot of stress to tell her dad the truth now.
Yeah.
Because she sort of hid that portion from him.
Yeah. It is super interesting that the mom is kind of swaying her to not tell him. Well, initially that was her thought, was maybe just don't tell him. Because for the same reason, it's going to completely sway his thoughts.
That also goes to show you like how much she confides in her mom versus like her dad, who kind of wasn't in her life.
Exactly. And she's kind of, it seems at the beginning, at least, of the conversation, that she wants to kind of use that to her advantage, you know? He wasn't
it
there.
Almost felt like that. Like, it was just hinting at...
It was just enough of hinting.
You were out of my life. I need this from you. You owe this to me.
You it owe me.
Almost,
yep.
almost there. Exactly. But it just stopped short of being there.
That was what I was picking up, too. But I'm really glad that she did decide to go through with telling him, because that could totally blow up in her face later on.
Well, these financial commitments are no joke.
Yeah.
They are no joke. And they mentioned that they're no longer 10 years, now they're for life. Unless certain circumstances, like the individual gets deported, mm-hmm. they become full citizens, or they die.
But it is super interesting, because it's even if they get welfare or food stamps or Section 8, the government's going to go after who is financially responsible for this person and not just hand out this money. Or they will and want it back or something. I don't know the exact process.
Tiffany at one point mentions, you know, we don't plan for this to go bad, but if something happens, you would be responsible. Yeah. And my initial reaction was like, fuck no, bitch.
No.
He says he's co-signing this.
Yeah.
You're both responsible. Yeah. Don't fucking just think, oh, you co-sponsored. It's all on you. No. It's on both of you.
Something that I asked you was, would you sign for your kids' vacation bang to come here? Would you be financially responsible for them?
Fuck no.
No, I wouldn't either.
Fuck no. If my kid was mid-20s, low-20s, low-30s, hey, I met someone in this other country. I don't really qualify to support them to get them over here for, you know, citizenship or whatever, green card. Can you sponsor them? I'm like, fuck no.
No, I'm not.
You're clearly not in a position to fucking support anyone. You need to work your shit out, fix yourself, or hey, let's get you going in some kind of right direction that you can be in a position to support someone like that.
No, my young adult vacation dick will not be financed by me.
No. So that's where we stand. But hey, if you're a cool enough parent to do that, that's great.
Here's where it gets tricky, though, and where I could possibly see doing it is if there is a child involved.
Oh, that'd be so tough.
I know, because you don't want.
Yeah, not you don't. You know, want one kid to grow up with one of their without one of their parents.
Yeah.
And there's
in an ideal situation, it would be a wonderful individual who is very, you know, involved and active and excited to.
And we're watching this show to give us this vision of what it is, but I'm sure in most cases, totally normal, totally fine people.
Yeah,
they're working, they're doing their thing. You know, they're working in all kinds of industries. They're cool. No big deal.
My whole thing, though, is if there's not a kid involved, I just don't see why that would fall on me.
Oh, I'd just be like, yeah, fuck no. I'm not.
Nah, you gotta work hard and bring your significant other here.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Future kid, I'm not.
But,
I'm not
so kiddos that. Are involved, I could see myself.
Yep, and grandkids be tugging at the
not even because of that. I don't know. I just feel, always a soft spot for kiddos. It should be, something else that has been bugging me. Do you notice?
So here's a question. Let's say there was a kiddo involved.
Yeah.
You had a daughter. She wants her fiance or whatever, whoever it is, to come over. You sponsor them. Individuals here doesn't work, but takes care of the kid.
Okay, so this is kind of Libby and Andre situation. I'm fine with that. If he's very active at home and helping with meals and chores but fully engaged with the child and like totally raising them well, I'm totally fine with that.
And again, we mentioned it could be the mom or the dad. We don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Male, female, whatever. How about you?
I think that'd be cool, because we have friends of ours that have told us that I think we mentioned in a previous episode with the child care was like $1,800 a month.
Yeah, it's more than their mortgage.
For three kiddos. Like, that is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So it's, again, a lot of parents are going to face that situation of, do we both work and then we pay for childcare? But really, you know, 80% of my salary is going to childcare. So I'm
like,
what's
the cost? Not only monetarily, but like the time with your children and just the things that you have to do at home. Is it worth it working out of the home just to pay?
Yeah, that's a tough road that parents have to cross, and it must be very tough to make
that decision. I can't imagine. Props to all you parents out there that not only deal with raising a child and then COVID and homeschooling but dealing with these everyday situations that are even aside from that. Okay, this is what I was going to bring up. How do you feel about Daniel essentially being another parent during this time to the little girl? I always feel bad that he has to... There's been multiple scenes of Tiffany being like, okay, take her, go play with her. And I just feel bad because that's not his responsibility. But as an older sibling, that is kind of how it is. So I don't know. I'm torn. I just wish he had a little bit more. I feel like he deals with a lot of adult things, is what I mean.
Well, it's going to be two ways. Either he's going to... How old is he? 10, 12? 10?
I think 11.
11. His sister's so young that he's going to be 18. She'll be like 7, 6, whatever. He might be out of the house. It's almost like situations where you either have a really close bond with your sibling.
I think he will.
Or what we've seen in other families on TV shows, and I'm alluding more towards Sister Wives, where their oldest son, he's never on the show. No. And I'm sure he's a great big brother and stuff, yeah. But he sort of had that leadership role being the oldest.
Yeah.
And now it almost seems like I'm done taking care of.
Yeah.
Young siblings, like, I'm gonna go do my thing with my partner.
Yeah.
So either Daniel, you know, great bond, they have a great relationship, or he's gonna say, I'm not taking care of kiddos anymore.
I think Daniel's so sweet, and I don't know, I don't want to say mature for his age, because that's not fair, because he was made to be mature for his age.
But he's a good kid, and I
see him being very involved in his sister's life.
I think from this case, yeah, he'll have a great relationship with his sister.
Yeah.
And they'll have a really good bond.
So Tiffany doesn't want her dad to think bad about Ronald, but it sounds like she will end up telling him everything, or at least enough to explain.
So when Tiffany is sort of stressed out about that moment of telling her dad, it's like, you are under so much stress because you know the red flags are just flying in your head. It's just like,
oh, boop, yeah. Boop, boop, boop.
And it's almost more
brush them away. Brush those red flags away.
More reasons of like, why are you with this guy? I mean, you're battling internally because of the reality you have to tell your dad about this dude you're with.
Yeah. It's, when he only saw the best of him. That's pretty much it for them. There's not much happened other than that. It sounds like the conversation with her dad will happen next episode. Angela and Michael, which is more... just Angela. So at this point, she is 2 days post-op. Her and JoJo have very cute best friend shirts. I love it.
Yeah, they're legit best friends. She was with her.
JoJo is ride or die.
Seems like she was in LA for a decent amount of time to help her with recovery.
She wiped her vagina.
Yeah, her coochie. Is that what she said?
I think she calls it coochie, yes.
I did not realize Angela was getting possibly a second procedure.
You mean a third?
A third. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. A third, because she got the stomach sleeve done, the breast work done, and possibly now a facelift. Damn, like, she is there for a long haul.
I'm super concerned about these providers pushing surgeries. Not even just suggesting them. Why? Why does it need to be done now?
In that time frame. Also, it was interesting. They want to do another procedure to sort of remove the loose skin under her.
The turkey gobble.
Yeah, the turkey skin. But we were thinking she's going to lose all this weight, hopefully make lifestyle change, and, you know, she's going to drop a bunch of pounds. Wouldn't she need another surgery? Like, let's say, oh, we had surgery, we did a facelift, and we
I think that's Popeyes.
Is it?
That's the bag.
It's a K+8.
It is K+8.
It might be, I love but they it. All probably got the same bags.
That's Popeyes. They do little staples on the sides. Envious. Continue on. Neighbors getting Uber Eats. And it looks delicious. What are we talking about? Angela.
Oh.
Getting all these procedures.
So Angela's getting all these procedures done, and they want to do her turkey skin. She's going to end up losing more weight. Wouldn't that reveal even more loose skin around her face? So why would you have the surgery just right now?
That's how I felt about the breasts.
Like it seems like she could wait just a couple months.
Yeah, see what and you then, look like.
And then I know she was talking about self-confidence and all this stuff. But Angela, you've probably been this size for, I'm guessing, over like 20 years.
It's not I'm just new. Guessing.
So waiting... a year, you know, you get healthy, you lose weight, you know, you're looking better and better, and then you're like, oh, hey, I'm ready for that. is that really that big of a deal? I don't see it.
I understand. Okay. I think the main point that is not discussed is I assume this is all free because it's through this one clinic in LA or in Beverly Hills. And so she doesn't want to fly back to do this again. Let's just knock it out. Because she's not going to go to Georgia, even though she could easily go to Atlanta and have these procedures done, but they're not going to be free. So I think that's why she wants to do it. But
it wouldn't even matter because when you lose weight in general, she's going to have loose skin all over her body. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I still, as a not a doctor, but my, and as someone that, who's a nice yo-yo dieter, yeah, things change a lot. And I think it's really hard to predict. And I would never want to do something so permanent before I'm at an ideal weight. I just wish the providers weren't putting these procedures in her head so much. She's like in her first week post-op. She's
a couple of points that I noticed in this. One, I'm glad that Angela's getting more into, you know, juices and like fruit juices.
Yes, couldn't handle the kale and all that stuff, but at least something.
It's like making those little steps. That was good.
That should have been done prior to surgery, but I mean, we're past that now.
The fact there's no way I don't see her ever stopping to smoke. It's going to be so hard for her to stop smoking.
I'm actually really surprised they didn't do a nicotine test prior to these surgeries.
They told her like, hey, you got to stop. If they're probably telling you that, like, cause it's going to mess up something with, possibly it's going to slow your healing rate. And maybe we're not doctors. I'm guessing either, you know, your lungs are weaker or something, and it's probably not good for surgery.
Blood pressure, I think it's a big one.
You know, in a little bit slightly compromised state.
Because you want to be as healthy as possible to go into surgery. It's traumatic for your body.
Michael, every time she calls Michael, he has this sort of brows tightened.
He has a lot. He furrows his brows a lot in these calls,
which I think is just so funny. Michael's in a tough position. He basically has a sugar mama. That's essentially what Angela is.
Kind of is. She sends him
money and supports him. And I think he's kind of like a taxi driver.
I don't think he does anything like that.
But I think he works. I don't think he works in Nigeria.
No.
He doesn't.
I don't think he works. I think that's what Angela said. I think she said she has been supporting him. But I think the reason is she doesn't want him around females. So that's why she sends him money. Am I making all of this up? I swear it was from previous seasons, but now I'm concerned.
I think how some these situations go down is she's really not only supporting Michael, she's probably supporting
other members of his family. And she paid for the wedding.
So Michael's in this weird state where he wants to voice his opinion, but it really doesn't matter.
But I hate that it doesn't matter. And that's always been a recurring theme with Angela.
That's their relationship.
But it shouldn't be. It almost feels like last season.
But it's almost like he accepted that mode. Because if he said, no, like we're in this relationship. My opinion matters. I am not comfortable with this.
But even when he tries to say, I'm not comfortable with that, this does not need to be done, she always throws in his face basically that I own you, that I give you this money.
But he's either, he can't give up the money aspect of it, or else he would just walk away. He'd be like, I'm just going to go find myself someone else. Like, this isn't worth it. You're an asshole.
But he's too far in now.
Yeah. But he's a young dude and he wants a kid. Angela's not giving him a kid.
Oh my God. The fact that that was even touched upon this episode was so annoying.
So they bring that up.
It was one sentence, but it still was so annoying.
They brought it up again. Oh, and this is probably true. Depending on where you live in the world. I mean, they said the surgery is going to cost $25,000. Some places that's a decent amount of money. Some places that's a fuck ton amount of money. You know, and maybe some richer countries, they'll be like, okay, whatever. But Michael's like, wow, like, you know what you can do with all that money here? And he mentioned Nigeria. One, Angela being Angela, she's just going to say, it's my fucking money. I can do whatever the fuck I want to. Which, to an extent, yeah, it's your money.
But also, you're being a really shitty partner.
But also, you are also in a marriage, you did get married. Yeah.
Like, I totally get it's your body, it's your money. You ultimately do have the final say, but I think you do need to involve your significant other in decisions and let their concerns be heard just so there's at least proper communication. At the end of the day, her decision, her money, but being a really shitty partner.
What I did want to, a point I really wanted to make stand there was, he wants to voice his opinion and let it be known how much he cares about her. But like I said, Angela being Angela, it doesn't fucking matter. No. It's going to be her go, her say.
I just hate the feeling of her almost being like, I own you, almost.
Right. Because of the money. I send you money, whatever.
So I do whatever I want. You do what I say. That's not okay.
Yeah. And it happened again with the whole hitting on a doctor. And then if Michael
does she have to sexually harass every doctor?
And if Michael does that shit, it's fucking game over.
He looks at a woman, it's game over. I mean, you remember their bachelorette party where he like glanced over at a woman dancing and the night was over. I'm done. Get me out of here.
They're in essentially a strip club, but kind of.
Basically. Not even. Like, it was like
a nightclub.
Yeah, and they were like go-go dancers.
Right. And he could have looked anywhere and, you know.
There was a woman somewhere. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It sucks.
God damn, even JoJo was there. Fuck.
JoJo's so ride or die. Fuck. Oh, she has seen every part of this relationship. Oh. On the phone call where Angela wanted the doctor to convince Michael that the facelift is worth it and great and safe and gonna make her look 20 years younger, I really wanted Michael to throw her under the bus for smoking.
Oh,
I wanted him to be like, is this safe since she's been continually smoking?
Oh, she's so corny too. She was like smoking into the video call with Michael.
Yeah.
When she was outside.
Did you notice she also had a nicotine patch on?
I did not.
Yeah. After she finally found a juice she could drink. I mean, props to her for like attempting, you know, like still trying to make these lifestyle changes, do her green drinks, but man, what's really gonna fuck her up is the smoking. That's, come on.
So we get to the end of her segment and it kind of does a preview of the, I don't know if it was a doctor exam or her that right before a surgery. I couldn't really tell.
I think that was the doctor from this episode.
Right. But it was almost like a follow-up meeting or it was either
the surgery. I think it was like the day of or something. Yeah.
And he's telling her, I'm going to do a nicotine test. She's like, no, you're not. And I was like, bitch, if the fucking doctor says I'm doing this thing because I need to, I'm fucking going to do it.
But that brings up a super interesting topic. So our friend needs to go in for surgery. And she was saying that she has to get nicotine tested before they do it because her insurance will not cover the surgery unless she has a negative nicotine test. She has to take this nicotine test.
Maybe she doesn't because she's not using insurance.
Who, Angela?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, possibly. But I'm just saying our friend, she's a smoker. She said she was a smoker to her doctor and they will not perform the surgery on her if she's actively smoking. They just flat out told her, we will be doing a nicotine test on you. You do have to be off cigarettes this long.
It was for knee surgery.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting that, you know, regular everyday people have to go through this and she's just not having it. I am looking forward to this portion because I've been so badly wanting her to quit smoking. So
they're either going to do it or she's going to say, yeah, I was smoking. I mean,
they're going to do the surgery regardless. Let's be honest. They haven't given a shit about any of the procedures prior, so why would they care now?
Yeah.
Did you notice that she updated Michael's name in her phone? Now it is My Sexy Nigerian. I think prior it was Michael Nigeria.
I noticed the new one. I didn't know it was generic Michael before.
So that's nice. Okay, so the most scripted segment on this show.
Andre.
This entire thing felt so fake, so scripted for multiple reasons. We'll get into it, but essentially Andre wants to kind of get ahead of the game, get his hands dirty. He wants to show Chuck that he is capable of working hard and doesn't mind getting his hands dirty, and he just wants to get going on this project. Goes an hour away to this home that they are going to be renovating to flip. for some reason, takes off refrigerator doors prior to taking the fridge out, even though that is not the heavy portion of our refrigerator, if you were having trouble taking it out. So that was super annoying to watch.
You know what's funny is as he's beating the refrigerator, he's essentially moving the whole fridge to
open. He would move open, the whole thing out.
To open, like, the door more.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, you just moved the whole fridge. Just take the whole fucking fridge
just
out.
Just move the whole, all that internal anger you have, just throw it out of that
so,
back door.
He ends up working maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or whatever the hell he was doing.
And this is the main portion. You know this shit's fake.
And then fucking Charlie walks in.
I was having a nice meal with my family and the neighbor called and said, someone's tearing up your house. One, how the fuck does this neighbor have your direct line? Who is this neighbor? Why do they even know you?
You're some fucking contractor that just bought
this
some
house. Yeah, to flip.
What fucking neighbor gives a fuck about the contractor?
I promise
They're not like, yeah. Hey, buddy, what you gonna do with this place? You gonna fix it up? They don't give a fuck.
No.
You're just some dude who bought a house and you're gonna flip it. And even then, how did you even develop a relationship that fast with a person that's like, hey man, this guy's like destroying your house.
Also, you know how it's such bullshit too, is the timeline. Andre was there for what, 10 minutes? And then he already showed up. If the neighbor just called you, it's an hour away.
I'm going to assume they all live semi-close to each other.
Yes, of course they do. Yeah. So I just hate how, maybe they're just such bad actors, it's killing me, but it's completely staged. I don't really believe anything about their storyline.
And Andre, you know, he's like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck, clean it up yourself, and fucking burns out and, you know, leaves, you know, pissed off or whatever. I'm just like, that looks so fucking fake. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Man? And I refuse to believe that Andre thinks that he was just going to remove windows without replacing them.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
I was like, but, no, you gotta work
the windows. The base of it was, I'm sure he fucking talked to Chuck, and Chuck was like, dude, just fucking bust down that fucking kitchen. Yeah. We're gonna replace the whole fucking kitchen. But he is kind of right, though. I mean,
oh my, with gas and electricity.
He is
kind of
right, though. I mean, the house still had electricity, and like, I'm sure the gas is still on. So
big deal on that front.
Yeah.
I just wish that Andre took it down a few notches. You are not an investor if you did not put any money in.
Oh, that was funny how he's talking about getting a cut. You know, I'm coming in as an investor. I'm like, yeah, you didn't. If anything, you want to take money out. You didn't put any money
in. You didn't put any money in. You're not an investor. So I wish he would just knock it down a few notches, because I'm very much so on his team. I think the family's awful. So, but man, you got to bring it down a little bit. You got to have some realistic expectations. You're going to have to work.
So,
it's fine. Charlie is not your boss.
So we see Libby and her sister getting shots for the fans only club.
Oh, yeah, the yoga.
And the sister, and I'm just going to speed through this because I just don't like talking about this family that much. But the sister, you know, she's on her sister's side. So
just fine,
she's,
whatever.
You know, being very positive about their situation with work and Andre's lack of work, but then trying to work and her being more stressed out with the kiddo. But she mentions, and I could be totally wrong here, and I'm okay being wrong. Like, you guys can call me out on social media or whatever. But the sister talks about having a nanny like it's a totally normal thing. Like,
yeah,
oh, it's so normal. I'm like, no, it's fucking
I've
not.
I've never met anyone with a nanny.
I was like, no, it's fucking
At
not.
At least while I was growing up, no one had a nanny.
When I was growing up, it was like, you know, my parents are immigrants. It's like you'd go to an aunt's house who was taking care of like eight other kids because all their parents are working.
Yes. Or
that's the fucking nanny that I'm used to, like that shit. Not like I have some lady that, or some person that comes in and takes care of my kid, but I'm in that same, I'm still in the house doing whatever.
No, that would not fly. I mean, so we grew up very humble. And so I have the same thing. It was, you're going to kind of a group daycare, but the daycare is like an aunt or like someone that you're a family friend.
Or maybe the more normal thing is you take kids to daycare, not.
Yeah, oh, I don't know why she can't go to daycare.
Because they're bougie. It's not, no.
They have to have their own private nanny.
I'm not sending my kid where other kids are. I, you know, no. That's beneath them.
That would be the most easy solution here is, because you don't have to take your kid to daycare all day. Like, you could just do 4 hours or whatever Libby needs to have to truly get some work done, and then just go pick her up. But no, they need a private nanny to be there all day.
That's totally normal. It's not.
I don't think it's normal either.
I'm sure most of America.
It happens. That's fine.
Most of America can't afford. Most of America can't even afford her fucking bills. How the fuck are we gonna afford a nanny? Come on, bitch.
Also, not only bills, but like we were just talking about childcare costs. They can't even pay for the daycare, let alone a private nanny.
Anyway, these folks live in a different tier, different mindset.
Yeah, definitely different than how we grew up. We grew up with, hey, here's some money. Don't open the door for anyone.
Did it sound like her sister has a nanny?
Yeah, she said, I have a nanny. I have a good one.
But I think she says she has a reference, like a person she knows. No, I don't think she actually said.
It's her nanny.
It's her nanny?
Yeah.
But I think then I asked you, does she work for the family? And you said
she I don't think she works for the nanny.
So I thought, wait, she doesn't work and she has a nanny?
Yeah.
Mind you, again, I could be totally wrong. Call me
out.
You
have to have those OnlyFans content.
Does she have an OnlyFans?
Yes. You see her whole intestines.
Well, that's her.
Her colon.
That's her. She's working.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Can't have the baby around while she's working.
No, you cannot.
Yeah, the family is weird as fuck.
Also, Jen is saying an omission is not a lie. That's literally a lie.
Your sister's literally setting you up for failure. Dash, yeah. Red flag. Cut that off. Like, let's just change the conversation right now. Because you're already leading me down a wrong path.
Exactly.
In my relationship.
Exactly.
Oh, back to that. This whole Andre has to have a job bullshit for this damn application.
That's a lie.
You're literally getting a nanny to take care of your kid. Fucking Andre's been watching. Unless he's overwatching the kid and he's tired of it.
Doesn't sound like he is.
Just let the dude watch the kid and be a dad. Fuck, why are we doing all this bullshit?
Why do we have to have the stereotypical role of the man has to go provide if you're just going to have someone else watch the kid?
Andre is a weird one to me because he has that mindset that like women, like, hey, women do these roles.
But he's fine staying home.
But he hasn't worked in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, bro, in 2 years, you could find a fucking job and do something.
But it's all below him. He doesn't want to start anywhere.
But, you know, usually the folks with that mindset, they're all... Maybe, I think. They would also have a, I'll provide for my family no matter what. Like, yeah. Hey, don't matter if I'm doing some grunt work, you know, I'm providing for my family, which it's almost like he missed like that segment. It was like, female roles, provide for family, grunt work, no.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I don't know. We see on the next time on that Becky, right, is saying...
That good hair.
Sure. That Becky is telling Libby that she's two-faced. I'm assuming Libby attempts to stand up for Andre for once versus flip-flopping and depending on who she's talking to that she's on their side.
Standing up to her with a missing chin.
They're all just missing chins. It's okay. So I think that'll be really interesting. It's a totally fake fight.
I'm hyped to watch the
They just
fight.
Like clasp it. Hands and that it. Was the fight. It. So it's gonna be stupid.
Unless someone falls off the boat, it's not a real fight.
Agreed. No way. Agreed.
Yeah, I get thrown out the boat, so
it just seems really dumb and fake and okay, so everyone knows they're gunning for a spinoff.
Is that a thing for sure now?
It's not for sure, but that everyone is on the same, like, the Reddit
Everyone's
board.
The same way?
Yeah, everyone's like, they're
so,
going to...
When I mentioned the whole Family Libby thing, was I early on that, or was I way
think you're
behind?
Early, because you said that from day one.
Oh, okay.
And people are now on Reddit being, they're trying to be the family show, Tom.
Hey, we got the date on that podcast. Hey, you heard it here first, people. Breaking news.
But what the fuck would that storyline even be? Andre still doesn't have a job. Cool. Like, there's nothing there.
Hey man, COVID times, you got to create content. So instead of making this Angela surgery spinoff, they're like, fuck it, just roll it on this one season. An entire season.
Oh my god,
season.
Angela should have just had the special.
We've been watching Angela.
So
we've been watching Angela.
We're like 1 week post-op.
We've been watching Angela's 10 days in LA for like a whole season. Just think about that, people.
Will we ever see her back home?
No.
Oh my god.
Maybe the season ender's like, going home.
And then we have to see her on another season. Oh my god, or they finally get a spinoff.
Yeah, Angela and Mike get a spinoff.
Yeah.
Finally. Or something. I don't know.
I still don't get why they're on Happily Ever After. It's just Angela.
Yeah, it's weird. They're like the only... Well, Ronald and Tiffany aren't together either.
But even them, they have...
They're making progress.
Yes, I mean, Michael's already denied, which sucks. Okay, that's it for them. Totally fake storyline. Fake, awful acting. It's just, man, I miss old 90 Day.
You never know.
Way that. More pure stories.
Are they coming out with a standard 90 Day season, a new one?
I assume, but right now they're going to do, what is it, like Paradise Love or whatever? Whatever that tropical spinoff is. I didn't even watch the preview.
I bet when they go back to like an OG kind of scenario.
I hope we have new couples.
I think it'll reinvigorate a lot of folks.
Guess who's coming back?
Talk to me.
Darcy. I love her.
Oh, dear God.
Good for her. She'll find love one day.
Darcy post X amount of surgeries.
Dude, she needs to stop. You look at her from her first season, and she looks so different.
It's like the inevitable.
Can you get like fillers dissolved? Because she should do that.
The inevitable look of cat face.
And her sister don't even look... I mean, they look similar, but not as much because their surgeries are like different. Okay, let's move on to Kalani and Asuelu.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with Kalani at a lawyer, which I just want to point out, this person seems way more like a lawyer versus the one that Andre and Libby went to.
Maybe she was nervous, you know, in front of the cameras. This guy's a little bit more...
She just seemed like she was like too dramatic or like on for the cameras. It was weird. This guy was just facts.
He was kind of on it of asking... I hope he's not like a fan of the show and he kind of already knew a lot of the information, but... If he's not, he was asking pretty, you know, sort of the way the conversation flowed. He kind of, you know, used his skill to kind of lead on into more questions of, is there other kids involved? Things like that. It was a pretty good
scene. It was a good conversation.
It was a pretty good conversation.
So we find out that Lo is a co-sponsor and financially responsible.
Oh, hold on. Pause on that. We looked this up on the internet because this is a valid source. Because I was curious, how much money do you need to make to support someone if you're bringing them over?
It depends on the amount of dependents.
So in this, I don't have the link to the source, but the minimum, I believe, that they for you to sponsor a person, if it's sort of like just you, was about 21 grand. The number sort of fluctuates depending on how many people are in your family. And that will include kiddos, yourself, and the spouse or individual that you're trying to bring over. So I did one for, Ronald and Tiffany, I think, was the example I used, you know, two kids, two adults, and got the number. And the value was like $33,000. And hey, again, where people live, $33,000 might be like, fuck, that's like nothing. And some people might be like, that's a lot of fucking money. It just depends on where you live. Tying back to that whole nanny thing of like, it's totally normal.
Yeah.
This fucking human making $33,000 is not affording a fucking nanny.
Not at all.
All right. And the median income in the US is maybe double that, if not, you know, less, a little bit less than double.
I think it's a little less.
Sorry. So I just had to put that out there with the whole co-sponsoring someone.
Yeah. Under Trump policy, the financial responsibility is now for life, not 10 years. So that would mean Lo would need to take care of Asuelu forever.
They mentioned that it might be a little hairy because when you signed it...
Exactly.
You know,
it was
prior. If the government's trying to be legit about, you know, hey, paperwork, documentation, well, I'll be like, well, bitch, I signed this paper. It said 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm getting just that 10 years.
But the government can be pretty sketch sometimes, so I could easily see them passing a policy it's a sweeping.
It'll be something where you'll do the re-up application, and that's where the lingo will change.
They just say anything dated from this date to this date is now lifelong, not 10 years. Like
you guys are grandfathered in.
If
they were to be pretty legit about it, it would have been the day that was passed.
Yeah, and moving forward. And it does sound like that's what it'll be.
We'll see. Again, is most of this just... Because let's pretend there was no divorce talk. There was like no content for a lot of these couples.
Yes.
No content.
Yes.
If Tiffany didn't have her thing get approved and her and Ronald having kind of issues and she goes to talk to a divorce lawyer, there's like no content. These people are just doing regular shit, living their COVID lives like all of us.
Yeah.
I'm torn on... Is some of this shit like real or are they just like, oh, you're having issues? Hey, you should go talk to a divorce lawyer just to talk to him. Because
I mean, I feel like these are all set up like that. That's absolutely what it is.
I'm torn on which one of these are legitimately real.
I think a lot of
Kalani's, a lot of it has been negative and divorce talk. And I'm starting to lean into like, damn, you motherfuckers are about to get divorced. Like, yeah. It seems like all you talk about is the possibility of divorce.
Yeah. But that's their storyline this season. So I feel like everything's going to revolve around a divorce. Or how about I say a potential divorce?
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's not a lot with them. Lo still wants them to work it out for the kids.
Oh, he was kind of alluding to the lawyer. Like, yeah. Oh, so you think the best thing to do would be to work
exactly.
it out?
Exactly. The lawyer's like, there's just a lot of pros and cons with every situation.
You just got to weigh that yourself when exactly. making the decision.
Sir, do not take responsibility for this decision. So not a whole lot with them. Moving on to the gem that is known as Julia. She moved out to the room next door.
This couple, when you look at them, they're in their late 20s. Yeah. But it feels like they're in their late teens. It's
extremely fucking immature. Weird. Yes.
It's almost like what I would expect to see a 19-year-old couple going through.
Like a
17-year-old
couple.
It's weird, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 17, like that phase. I'm just like, this is fucking weird.
They're not going to make it on their own. Like, if they moved out, they would not make it. They can't handle the stress of a shared living situation with bills and...
So we see Julia. She's in, like, her other
bedroom. Remember, she moved out.
She's in her other bedroom thing. And Brandon's like, oh, so what? You moved out or what? I'm like, yeah, bitch. She moved down the fucking hallway.
She did.
5 steps over. It's just so corny.
She's extremely jealous. My gosh. Honestly, and Brandon is honestly, only allowed to talk to her.
Honestly, though, her jealousy is pretty intense.
It's too intense.
Like, it's weird.
She doesn't care about his life before her. He can only talk to her.
So is this dude just getting pinged on social media? Like, damn, you're so fine. Dude, no.
I don't
like,
think so. No. I think we're all very turned off by him, actually.
No one is after you, dude. You're safe. You're cool.
So kind of bringing it up again, she does not care about his life prior to her. When he brings up that a healthy relationship is more, involves more people than just a spouse, she does not agree with that. She does not think that he should need anyone else besides her. And right or wrong, she wants Brandon by her side, to be on her side. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Brandon's kind of a man child.
He is.
I think she's a child as well. I think he'll end up submitting to a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's so weird that she says, well, we'll see if I give her another chance. This is Julia speaking of.
Oh, the moment she said that, I was like, bitch, you better hope she gives you another chance. But she kept going and included that.
Yeah,
and
which
I hope she gives me another chance. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. Because you guys are both dicks. I mean, mostly you. And then she kind of.
I think
met your
I think
energy
Brandon's
there.
Friend just matched her. She's like,
exactly. At first, it was fine.
She was like, "All right, bitch, I'm gonna come at you then."
Yeah,
I'm gonna come at you because I was trying to be cool. She's like, "Hey, movies we watch, yada yada yada, yeah. Staying up all night."
And honestly, that was like the entire conversation between her and Brandon. Just super mature. They talked about her jealousy issues. She said she's been jealous her whole life, basically, and she said she's much better now than what she was before. And oh, all I could think was, how fucking awful was it before?
She's definitely shanked an ex.
Oh, probably.
For sure.
Okay, this brings up a point that I wanted to bring up. And spoiler alert, if you don't want to know anything about kind of background information on the next season of The Single Life and Natalie.
Skip 5 minutes or so.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be quick. It'll just be a few minutes. Someone on Reddit posted that someone with the show Single Life, 90 Day Single Life, came up to her. Natalie moved in next door. They wanted her to pretend to be her friend, her single friend. This lady's married in her house. The producers came up.
Oh.
And she agreed to do it. And so they shot for like hours of Natalie walking through her house, coming into the back to talk about dating. And so like, friends are planted. That just confirms to me, like, what if this isn't even Brandon's friend? You're like in shock right now. I'm ruining the show for you. Just like it ruined it for me.
Friends are planted.
Like, this was just the next door neighbor to where Natalie was moving in that season. I don't even know if that's a real life move in. And she's married.
How many of Michael's friends were planted?
See?
So. That is fucking weird. So did the lady come out and say, hey, I was
Yeah, she said her friend was like, I met Natalie today, and now I'm like, they filmed for hours. And
I wonder if she's going to make the, wait a minute, single life, so did they break up?
Oh, fuck. You don't know any of this, do you?
No.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. All of our viewers just keep fast-forwarding. So many spoilers. Yeah, they're not together.
That was okay.
I mean, we didn't see that coming at all.
This is why you should just stay patient. Honestly, a lot of these people...
Honestly, no.
As far as couples getting married, but a lot of these have been talking for like years.
That's true.
I think Natalie and Mike are probably talking for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, be patient. I'm like, yeah, but we've been talking for 2 years. So I'm like,
yeah, that's true. Also, the K-1 is not to decide if you want to get married in 90 days. The K-1 is you've already decided to get married and you have 90 days to complete the marriage. Not to figure out if you want to be together.
That's, how does that work? I mean, do folks have to, I could see Mike not even filing for divorce. He just like, just puts it off forever.
Well, I think he doesn't because he doesn't want to affect her status, her legal status. Like, he doesn't care if she's here.
But wouldn't that also sort of confirm that the person didn't come for you? Because you would usually fight through these things or...
I think he's probably honestly just waiting for that year or 2 year mark and then he'll file for divorce. He doesn't want to like kick her out, but he doesn't want to be with her.
But that also confirms the whole thing of you just came here to like come to this country.
Not I mean, for, it does. Not
for love,
with
not for love and for yeah. me. So why would you even help them to stay?
Yeah.
I guess you don't want to be the bad person, but I'm like, well, this person kind of used you.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's weird.
So going back to this lady next door that had to pretend to be single and talk about relationships with Natalie, then they wanted scenes of them going out together.
Oh,
but they had to prep the shots like in the club or the bar. So they said for like 2 hours, they just had to sit in the car and hang out together while the crew got the club ready.
Oh, dear God. There's like nobody in the club. It's like a shutdown.
Maybe. Club. I don't know. And then they just partied. And then the producers asked if they were open to doing a double date.
And she's like,
She's like, yeah, if I get paid. And
well, you talk to your husband like, hey, I'm just going to do this film. Yeah. It's whatever. I'm
just take paid. The husband. Take the rings off. Just be like, this is my boyfriend. It's the guy I've been seeing for a month.
That's funny. Some people online, if they didn't know, they'd be like, what the fuck? Yeah. She's cheating on Brad. I'm going to fucking tell
him. Brad comes out and he's like jazzed.
Oh, my God.
It'd be so funny.
I just learned so much information.
I know. And so it takes some of the magic away. And now I'm sad that I told you because you do watch it at face value versus my kind of like prodding.
It's all right. I'm still pretty entertained.
I mean, I'm going to force you to watch it still.
Wait.
Oh, we should do Smothered because that just dropped today.
Those shows are almost kind of creepy.
It's uncomfortable, so maybe, I don't know.
Like, I'll watch it, but it's almost like that, like, this is really weird, but I'm just still watching it.
Yeah.
All right,
I feel like I had something else on this whole spoiler thing, but I think that was the main point, is I'm wondering if Brandon's friends are even his friends.
The lack...
Because,
you know, we're filming very specific things, so a lot of these folks don't really mention their friends.
But the thing with them is why I'm wondering if she's a plant because, oh, do you remember that movie we watched? Yeah, that one movie.
Those are good scary movies.
Yeah, like,
they almost
what?
They almost seem lost in the conversation.
They were both like trying to see where the person was going with that, it felt like. But I don't know, is Julia...
No, I mean...
But is Julia
They mentioned her being on the farm, though, so I don't know if you'd go that deep. Wouldn't Julia be like, who's this friend? Did she ever be on the farm? Mom would be like, it's not his fucking friend. Or they would know, this is a fake friend, so Julia, storm out of this conversation.
I don't know if she would. That's why I do think it's real. It's because I don't think Julia's a good enough actress to keep that going.
Right.
Storm out. I am normal.
I mean, neither would be Brandon. I don't think Brandon would either.
Oh, that's true. Completely sidetracked. But the next time on Jovi and Yara, it looks like Jovi is leaving for work officially. Gwen is driving them somewhere. It's assumed to the airport and maybe then taking Yara and Myla back to her place. We'll see about that. Julia and Brandon. This is the same preview that we got last time. So it's crap. She's opening up the mail.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, checking immigration status. I don't know what it is. She's opening the mail is kind of all we got. Angela and Michael... We see her denying a nicotine test and the provider essentially saying, I don't give a shit. You're going to take this nicotine test. Kalani and Asuelu. Was he in a car accident? He seemed almost in shock. They just showed her saying, I really found out what's important and what I want. And it seemed like they were both shaken up. So I'm wondering if he was maybe doing Uber or something, got into a car accident, and she was picking him up or something.
Oh, I'm not sure.
That was my kind of putting the dots together on the very vague conversation.
I think I missed that portion.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's just what I put together. That could be so far off. They didn't say anything about a car accident, so I'm take that with a large grain of salt. Tiffany and Ronald. Tiffany is speaking with a lawyer. Regarding Ronald's interview, he is being video conferenced in, and Ronald just does not seem that he's taking this very seriously.
Did you catch the part where it seems like he's taking a huge puff of vapor smoke?
No, maybe I didn't see that. No, I didn't.
He's like, he's really got to take it seriously. And then it cuts to a scene of him just puffing like a huge thing of smoke.
And yeah, just his answers are clearly not very.
It's almost like he's just not taking it seriously. He's just like, yep, been arrested plenty of times.
Yeah, exactly. That was the quote.
And that's it. Okay.
I wish he would have treated it more of like a mock interview versus whatever the fuck he wants. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern is what if, yeah, he got this green card, but then he gets the final step denied because he didn't do well on the interview.
Yeah.
Natalie and Mike, we talked about this. Natalie says Trish called her a hooker, which I am very curious to see kind of what leads up to this and what is this what causes her to stand like storm out or whatever.
I bet it won't. It would be something totally basic and she, you know, misinterpreted as a hooker or something.
Did you get that fish with the hook? Did you hook her? I don't know. I'm trying to think of whatever sentence that could be.
Mike came back from fishing.
Yeah. Did you hook her?
I think it'll be... Fuck.
Oh, did you see that Mike is wearing a little rubber ring now, like we kind of talked about?
He got his ass put in check quick.
Yeah, so it's fine now. See, look, them problem solving. He wears a ring now.
So.
God damn it. I'm not doing any more spoilers because now I feel so bad. Libby and Andre, we talked about this as well. The fake fight with Becky on the boat.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a family Libby, you know, rumor mill breaking out.
And yeah, thankfully I don't have a lot on them. I want as little info as possible on them. And that's the show.
Yep. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Wish you all the best. Really appreciate you guys listening in. All the downloads that we get from all over the world now.
That is pretty cool.
Amazing. I think we got downloads in Italy, and we're fucking blown away.
Yeah.
Like, we think that's just so incredible that we've reached even one person.
Yeah, I'm very happy with getting one download and one listen. So anything above that is bonus.
Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for tuning in. We hope to just keep providing fun dialogue or provide an opinion that either resonates with you or even an opinion you totally hate and you want to call us out on social media.
That's very true.
That's totally fine. It's about the conversation. You can talk shit. We can talk shit. As long as you know, hey, just remain respectful. And yeah, thank you.
Hope you all have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye.